Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Trundlebed Tales. And this is your host, Sarah Utoff, the founder and force behind Trundlebed Tales. And remember, you can find us all around the web on the podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, available on your favorite podcast platforms, on YouTube, on my blog, and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all around the web under Trundlebed Tales. And today's episode should have really been done a while ago, but if you are a regular listener to this program, you know I have a bad habit of letting that happen. But this is going to be in honor of World Read Day. And I've done several things for World Read Day before. I've read part of Pa's Big Green Animal book. I've read part of a Milbank. I have read a bunch of things out of the readers Laura had. And I probably will go back to Milbank at some point, although I have to say it is not one of my favorite books that I've read by Mary J. Holmes, which is, of course, Homestead on the Hillside. And if you want to hear me talking about Mary J. Holmes, I actually did a short video for my Laura in a Minute series about her recently. But what I'm going to be reading today is one of my all-time favorite reads, and that is Thornton W. Burgess. Now, Thornton Burgess was a naturist, so he studied nature. A lot of his work... He has animal preserves named in his honor. He just did a lot of work on trying to help people know about animals and encouraging them to save them. And so one of the things he did was write these children's books. And the children's books The animals talk, and they wear clothes. And apparently they get married because they have Mrs. Characters too, Mrs. Rabbit and that kind of thing. But other than that, it is mostly how they really act in the natural world. And one of the things I love about Thornton Burgess is a read aloud, and it isn't going to be true about what I'm reading today, but usually he wrote these originally as a newspaper column. So the beginning of each chapter catches you up where you are, and there's a kind of cliffhanger at the end of every chapter, which is just great for reading aloud. But this is actually a book, Mother West Wind's Children, that is a book of short stories. So they don't actually have that leading into the next story thing. But I thought you might enjoy it. And I actually had started this series of reading this when I was testing microphones. And it's pretty fitting to do this because I am also using a microphone today that I got a couple months ago. So you hadn't heard me read on this mic before. So I hope you enjoy it. Now, I should tell you that these animals live in the green forest and the green meadow by the Smiling Brook. And old Mother West Wind brings out her children, the Merry Little Breezes, to play every day. And this is picking up at Chapter 5, Striped Chipmunk Pockets. Now, I'm going to start with this. And I'm going to read for about half an hour. If I do finish this early, I will go ahead and read the next chapter. But we're starting with Striped Chipmunk's Pocket. It was one of Striped Chipmunk's busy days. Every day is a busy day with Striped Chipmunk at this season of the year, for the sweet acorns are ripe and the hickory nuts rattle down whenever Old Mother West Wind shakes the tree, while every night Jack Frost opens chestnut burrs just to see the squirrels scamper for the plump brown nuts the next morning. So Striped Chipmunk was very, very busy indeed. He whisked in and out of the old stone wall along one edge of the Green Meadows, back and forth, back and forth, sometimes to the old hickory tree, sometimes to the hollow chestnut tree, sometimes to the great oak on the edge of the green forest, Striped Chipmunk scampered. Old Mother West Wind, coming down from the Purple Hills very early in the morning, had found Striped Chipmunk up before her and hard at work. Later, when jolly round red Mr. Sun had climbed up into the sky, the Merry Little Breezes had spied Striped Chipmunk whisking along the old stone wall and had raced over to play with him, for the Merry Little Breezes are very fond of Striped Chipmunk. They got there just in time to see him disappear under a great stone in the old wall. Just a minute, he was out again and off as fast as he could go to the old hickory tree. "Oh, Striped Chipmunk, come play with us," shouted the Merry Little Breezes, running after him. But Striped Chipmunk just flirted his little funny tail and winked with both his bright eyes at them. "Busy, busy, busy," said Striped Chipmunk, hurrying along as fast as his short legs could take him. The Merry Little Breezes laughed, and one of them, dancing ahead, pulled the funny little tail of Striped Chipmunk. "It's a beautiful day. Do come and play with us," cried the Merry Little Breezes. But Striped Chipmunk flirted his tail over his back once more. "Busy, busy, busy," he shouted over his shoulder and ran faster than ever. In a few minutes, he was back again, but was such a queer-looking fellow as he was. His head was twice as big as it had been before, and you could hardly have known it was Striped Chipmunk but for the saucy way he twitched his funny little tail and the spry way he scampered along the old stone wall. "Oh, Striped Chipmunk's got the mumps," shouted the Merry Little Breezes. But Striped Chipmunk never said a word. He couldn't. He ran faster than ever until he disappeared under the big stone. When he popped his head out again, he was just his usual saucy little self. "Hey, Striped Chipmunk," cried the Merry Little Breezes, rushing over to him. "Tell us how you happen to have pockets in your cheeks." But Striped Chipmunk just snapped his bright eyes at them and said, "Busy, busy, busy," as he scuttled over to the hollow chestnut tree. The Merry Little Breezes saw it was no use at all to try and tempt Striped Chipmunk to play with them or to answer questions. "I tell you what, let's go ask Great-Grandfather Frog how Striped Chipmunk happens to have pockets in his cheeks. He'll know." So away they started after they had raced over to the big hollow chestnut tree and sent a shower of brown nuts rattling down to Striped Chipmunk from the burrs that Jack Frost had opened the night before. "Goodbye, Striped Chipmunk," they shouted as they romped across the Green Meadows, and Striped Chipmunk stopped long enough to shout goodbye before he filled his pockets with brown nuts. Old Grandfather Frog sat on his big green lily pad blinking at the sun. It was very still, very, very still indeed. Suddenly, out of the brown bulrushes burst the Merry Little Breezes and surrounded Old Grandfather Frog, and every one of them had brought him a fat, foolish green fly. Grandfather's big, goggly eyes sparkled, and he gave a funny little hop in the air as he caught each foolish green fly. When the last one was safe inside his white and yellow waistcoat, he settled himself comfortably on the big green lily pad and folded his hands over the foolish green flies. "Chug-a-rum," said Grandfather Frog. "What is it you want this morning?" "Oh, Grandfather Frog," cried the Merry Little Breezes, "tell us what happened to Striped Chipmunk. Tell us how it happens that Striped Chipmunk has pockets in his cheeks. Do tell us, Grandfather Frog. Please do." "Chug-a-rum," said Grandfather Frog. "How should I know?" "But you do know, Grandfather Frog, you do know. Please tell us," cried the Merry Little Breezes as they settled themselves among the rushes. And presently, Grandfather Frog began. "Once upon a time, a long, long while ago, When the world was young, asked a mischievous little breeze, Grandfather Frog pretended to be very much put out by the interruption and tried to look severe. But the Merry Little Breezes were all giggling so that presently he had to smile too. Yes, he said he, it was when the world was young, before old King Bear became king. Mr. Chipmunk, Striped Chipmunk's great-great-great-grandfather, a thousand times removed, was the smallest of the squirrels, just as Striped Chipmunk is now. But he didn't mind that, not the least bit. Mr. Gray Squirrel was four times as big and had a handsome tail. Mr. Fox Squirrel was four times as big, and he also had a handsome tail. Mr. Red Squirrel was a little bigger, and he thought his tail was very good to see. But Mr. Chipmunk did not envy his big cousins their fine tails, not he. You see, he had himself a beautiful striped coat, of which he was very proud, and which he thought was more to be desired than a big tail. So Mr. Chipmunk went his happy way and contented, and he was such a merry little fellow and so full of fun and cut such funny capers that everyone loved Mr. Chipmunk. One day, when the nights were cool and all the trees had put on their brilliant colors, Old Mother Nature sent word down across the Green Meadows that every squirrel should gather for her and store away until she came to 1,000 nuts. Now the squirrels had grown fat and lazy through the long winter, through the long summer, all but Mr. Chipmunk, who frisked about so much that he had no chance to grow fat. Mr. Gray Squirrel grumbled, whoa, 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 whoa. Mr. Fox Squirrel grumbled, whoa, 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 whoa. Mr. Red Squirrel grumbled, whoa, 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 whoa. But they didn't disobey Old Mother Nature. So they all set out, each to gather 1,000 nuts. And Mr. Chipmunk alone was pleasant and cheerful. When they reached the nut trees, what do you suppose they discovered? Why, they had been so greedy that they had eaten most of the nuts, and it was going to be hard work to find and store 1,000 nuts for Old Mother Nature. Then they began to hurry. Did Mr. Gray Squirrel and Mr. Fox Squirrel and Mr. Red Squirrel, each trying to make sure of his 1,000 nuts. They quarreled and they fought over the nuts in the ground and even up in the trees. And because they were so big and so strong, they pushed Mr. Chipmunk's way and they pushed him that way. And often, just as he was going to pick up a fat nut, one of them would knock him over and make off with the prize. Poor Mr. Chipmunk kept his temper and was polite as ever, but how he did work. His cousins were great climbers and could get the nuts still left on the trees, but Mr. Chipmunk was a poor climber, so he had to be content with those on the ground. Of course, he could carry only one nut at a time, and his legs were so short that he had to run as fast as ever he could to store each nut in his secret storehouse and get back for another. And while the others quarreled and fought, he hurried back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, from early morning until jolly round red Mr. Sun pulled his nightcap on behind the purple hills, hunting for nuts and putting them away in his secret storehouse. But the nuts grew scarcer and scarcer on the ground and harder to find, for the other squirrels were picking them up too, and they did not have so far to carry them. Sometimes one of his cousins up the tree would drop a nut, but Mr. Chipmunk would never take it, not even when he was having hard work to find any. For, he said he to himself, if my cousin drops a nut, it is his nut just the same. Finally, Mr. Gray Squirrel announced that he had got his 1,000 nuts. Then Mr. Fox Squirrel announced he had his 1,000 nuts. And the next day, Mr. Red Squirrel stopped hunting because he had his 1,000 nuts. But Mr. Chipmunk had hardly more than half as many. And that night he made a dreadful discovery. Someone had found his secret storehouse and had stolen some of his precious nuts. It's of use to cry over what can't be helped, said Mr. Chipmunk. And the next morning he bravely started out again. He had worked so hard, he had grown thinner and thinner until now he was only a shadow of his old self, but he was as cheerful as ever and kept right on hunting and hunting for stray nuts. Mr. Gray Squirrel and Mr. Fox Squirrel and Mr. Red Squirrel sat around and rested and made fun of him. Way up in the tops of the tallest trees, a few nuts still clung, but his cousins did not once offer to go up and shake them down for Mr. Chipmunk. And then Old Mother Nature came down across the Green Meadows. First, Mr. Gray Squirrel took her to his storehouse, and she counted his 1,000 nuts. Then Mr. Fox Squirrel led her to his storehouse, and she counted his 1,000 nuts. And then Mr. Red Squirrel showed her his storehouse, and she counted 1,000 nuts. Last of all, Mr. Chipmunk led her to his secret storehouse and showed her the pile of nuts he had worked so hard to get. Old Mother Nature didn't need to count them to see there were not 1,000 there. I've done the best I could, said Mr. Chipmunk bravely, and he trembled all over. He was so tired. Old Mother Nature never said a word, but went out on the Green Meadows and sent the Merry Little Breezes to call together all the meadow people and all the little forest folks, and they had all gathered before her. She suddenly turned to Mr. Gray Squirrel. Go bring me 100 nuts from your storehouse, said she. Then she turned to Mr. Fox Squirrel. Go bring me 100 nuts from your storehouse, said she. Last of all, she called Mr. Red Squirrel out where all could see. Mr. Red Squirrel crept out very slowly. His teeth chattered, and his tail, of which he was so proud, dragged on the ground. For you see, Mr. Red Squirrel had something on his mind. Then Old Mother Nature told how she had ordered each squirrel to go get and to store for her 1,000 nuts. She told just how selfish Mr. Gray Squirrel and Mr. Fox Squirrel had been. She told just how hard Mr. Chipmunk had worked. And then she told how part of his precious store had been stolen. And there, said Old Mother Nature in a loud voice so everyone should hear, there is the thief. Then she commanded Mr. Red Squirrel to go to his storehouse and bring her half of the biggest and the best nuts he had there. Mr. Red Squirrel sneaked off with his head hanging and began to bring nuts. And as he tramped back and forth, all the little meadow people and all the little forest folks pointed their fingers at him and cried, thief, thief, thief. When all the nuts had been brought to her by Mr. Gray Squirrel and Mr. Fox Squirrel and Mr. Red Squirrel, Old Mother Nature gathered them all up and put them in the secret storehouse of Mr. Chipmunk. Then she sat Mr. Chipmunk up on an old stump where all could see him, and she said, Mr. Chipmunk, because you have been faithful, because you have been cheerful, because you have done your best, henceforth you shall have 2 pockets, one in each cheek, so that you can carry 2 nuts at once, and you will not have to work so hard the next time I tell you to store 1,000 nuts. And the little people and all the little forest folk shouted, hurrah for Mr. Chipmunk! All but his cousins, Mr. Gray Squirrel and Mr. Fox Squirrel and Mr. Red Squirrel, who hid themselves for shame. And ever since that time long ago, when the world was young, the chipmunks have had pockets in their cheeks. You can't fool Old Mother Nature, concluded Great Grandfather Frog. No, sir, you can't fool Old Mother Nature, and it's no use to try. Thank you, cried the Merry Little Breezes, clapping their hands, and they all raced across the Green Meadows to shake down some more nuts for Striped Chipmunk. Reddy Fox, the Boaster, Chapter 6. Johnny Chuck waddled down the lone little path across the Green Meadows. Johnny Chuck was very fat and roly-poly. His yellow-brown coat fitted him so snugly, it seemed as if it must burst. Johnny Chuck was feeling very happy indeed, for you see, Johnny Chuck long ago found the best thing in the world, which is contentment. Jolly, round, red Mr. Sun, looking down from the sky, smiled and smiled to see Johnny Chuck waddling down the lone little path, for he loved the merry-hearted little fellow, as do all the little meadow people, all but Reddy Fox. For Reddy Fox has not forgotten the surprise Johnny Chuck once gave him and how he called him a fraidy cat. Once in a while, Johnny Chuck stopped to brush his coat carefully, for he is very particular about his appearance as Johnny Chuck. By and by, he came to an old butternut tree down by the Smiling Pool. He could see it a long time before he reached it, and up in the top of it, he could see Blacky the Crow flapping his wings and cawing at the top of his voice. There must be something going on, said Johnny Chuck to himself, and he began to waddle faster. He looked so queer when he tried to hurry that jolly round red Mr. Sun smiled more than ever. When he was almost to the old butternut tree, Johnny Chuck sat up very straight so that his head came just above The tall meadow grasses beside the low little path. He could see the merry little breezes dancing and racing under the old butternut tree and having such a good time. And he could see the long ears of Peter Rabbit standing up straight above the tall meadow grasses. One of the merry little breezes spied Johnny Chuck. "Hurry up, Johnny Chuck," he shouted. And Johnny Chuck hurried. When he reached the old butternut tree, he was all out of breath. He was puffing and blowing, and he was so warm. He wished for a minute, a single little minute, that he could swim like Billy Mink and Jerry Muskrat and Little Joe Otter, so that he could jump into the Smiling Pool and cool off. "Hello, Johnny Chuck," shouted Peter Rabbit. "Hello yourself and see how you like it," replied Johnny Chuck. "Hello myself," said Peter Rabbit. And then, because it was so very foolish, everybody laughed. It is a good thing to feel foolishly happy on a beautiful sunshiny day, especially down on the Green Meadows. Jimmy Skunk was there. He was feeling very, very good indeed, was Jimmy Skunk, for he had found some fine beetles for his breakfast. Little Joe Otter was there, and Billy Mink, and Jerry Muskrat, and Happy Jack Squirrel, and of course, Reddy Fox was there. Reddy Fox never misses a chance to show off. He was wearing his very newest red coat and his whitest waistcoat. He had brushed his tail till it looked very handsome, and every few minutes he would turn and admire it. Reddy Fox thought himself a very fine gentleman. He admired himself, and he wanted everyone else to admire him. "Let's do stunts," said Peter Rabbit. "I can jump farther than anybody here." Then Peter Rabbit jumped a tremendously long jump, and then everybody jumped, everybody but Reddy Fox. Even Johnny Chuck jumped because he was so roly-poly, he tumbled over and over, and everybody laughed, and Johnny Chuck laughed loudest of all. And because his hind legs are long and meant for jumping, Peter Rabbit had jumped farther than anybody else. "I can climb up to the top of that old butternut tree quicker than anybody else," cried Happy Jack Squirrel, and away he started with Bobby Raccoon and Billy Mink after him. For though Billy Mink is a famous swimmer and can run swiftly, he can also climb when he has to. But Happy Jack Squirrel was at the top of the old butternut tree almost before the others had started. The merry little breezes clapped their hands, and everybody shouted for Happy Jack Squirrel. Everybody but Reddy Fox. "I can swim faster than anybody here," shouted Little Joe Otter. In a flash, three brown coats splashed into the Smiling Pool so suddenly that they almost upset Great-Grandfather Frog, watching from his big green lily pad. They belonged to Little Joe Otter, Billy Mink, and Jerry Muskrat. Across the Smiling Pool and back again they raced, and Little Joe Otter was first out on the bank. "Hurrah for Little Joe Otter," cried Blacky the Crow. And everybody shouted, "Hurrah!" Everybody. "What can you do, Jimmy Skunk?" asked Peter Rabbit, dancing up and down. He was so excited. "Jimmy Skunk yawned, lazily. "I can throw a wonderful perfume farther than anybody here," said Jimmy Skunk. "We know it, we know it," shouted the Merry Little Breezes as everybody tumbled over heels overhead away from Jimmy Skunk, even Reddy Fox. "But please don't." And Jimmy Skunk didn't. Then they all came back, Reddy Fox carefully brushing his handsome coat, which had become sadly mussed. He had fled in such a hurry. Now, for the first time in his life, Johnny Chuck began to feel a wee bit discontented. What was there he could do better than anybody else? He couldn't jump, he couldn't climb, and he couldn't swim. He couldn't even run fast because he was so fat and round and roly-poly. He quite forgot that he was so sunny-hearted and good-natured that everybody loved him. Everybody but Reddy Fox. Just then, Reddy Fox began to boast, for Reddy Fox is a great boaster. "Pooh," said Reddy Fox, "pooh. Anybody could jump if their legs were made for jumping, and what's the good of climbing trees anyway? Now I can run faster than anybody here, faster than anybody in the whole world," said Reddy Fox, puffing himself out. "Chug-a-rum," said Grandfather Frog. You can't beat Spotty the Turtle. And everybody shouted and rolled over and over in the grass. They were so tickled. The turtle had once won a race from Reddy Fox. For a minute, Reddy Fox looked very foolish. Then he lost his temper, which is a very unwise thing to do, for it is hard to find again. He swelled himself out until every hair stood on end, and he looked twice as big as he did before. He strutted up and down and glared at each in turn. "And I'm not afraid of any living thing in the Green Meadows," boasted Reddy Fox. "Shabarum," said Grandfather Frog. "Do I see Bowser the Hound?" Every hair on Reddy Fox suddenly fell back into place. He whirled about nervously and anxiously and looked over in the Green Meadows. Then everybody shouted again and rolled over and over in the grass and held on to their sides, for you see, Bowser the Hound wasn't there at all. But everybody took good care to keep away from Reddy Fox, everybody but Johnny Chuck. He just sat still and chuckled till his fat sides shook. "What are you laughing at?" demanded Reddy Fox. "I was just thinking," said Johnny Chuck, though you can run so fast, you can't even catch me." Reddy Fox just glared at him for a minute. He was so mad, and then he sprang straight at Johnny Chuck. "I'll show you," he snarled. Now, Johnny Chuck had been sitting close to a hole that Grandfather Chuck had dug a long time before, which is empty. In a flash, Johnny Chuck disappeared head first in the hole. And I am not going to do this. I have to answer the phone, and I only have 3 minutes left anyway. We will have to pick up again, and I will tell you the rest of the story. And... Thank you.